Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and put it on record.
I'd like to call this meeting to order and invite Pastor Dan Keck of the Curie Beach, Curie Memorial Lutheran Church to do the invocation and our Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Good to see you all. Why are there not many people here tonight? I'm not saying usual. Is this the right night?
This right night.
This is the secret meeting.
Just a one verse from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And it's a great reminder, I think, for us that God is with us through all the challenges, through all the struggles that we may have, through all the joys and all the great things that take place in our lives and certainly in our community as we gather together. So I think it's a great reminder for that. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this night. Thank you for this council and all who are in this community working to make things so good for all of us and all who come to visit. Lord, we pray your guidance upon this this council who makes decisions and does things to the best of their ability and for what's best for our community. Lord, we continue to ask that you would provide them strength and encouragement. This we pray through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you guys like to join me up front to present this?
Sure.
Come on
then. Quick
Pastor, we have a certificate of appreciation for you for your dependable service to the town of Curie Beach in conducting our opening prayers at council meetings. You have just literally been a godsend to us, and we thank you so much.
Well, I thank you. This is very meaningful.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. Great. It's an honor to do this, and it's just a special thing for me. So I really appreciate this recognition and appreciate the time I can come and be here with you all.
Well,
so,
we appreciate
so
it.
Thank
you so much. All right. Dan. Approval of our consent agenda. Any comments or changes?
I would like to make a motion to move number five, accept resignations from the SLAP committee to discussion and consideration of committee business.
Okay. Any other changes? Do I hear a second for him to
second.
Remove that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Can we also move short on SLAP committee to number one under committee business?
Oh, yes, yes. Part of your motion, right?
Yes. Sorry. I didn't restate that, Nancy.
No, that's
no, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Do I hear approval of the consent agenda as changed?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented with the change.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Adoption of the agenda. Okay, under new business, I've provided all of you with a survey that one of our residents in working with several of our kind of focus committees has put together, and I would like for us to discuss that under new business. That would be number two.
Oh, I thought you all approved the agenda.
No, that was the consent agenda.
Okay.
Any other additions or changes?
Okay. Make a motion we approve the agenda with the addition under committee business.
Under new business.
the addition of under committee business per what Joe said.
Oh, yeah.
And the addition under new business number 2 for the survey.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Discussion and presentations to the council. Orville Powell, whom I've known for over 40 years, is with us tonight, and he is going to give us a presentation on parking. Okay?
Parking.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be talking tonight about a topic that you all know more than I do about it. You live here, you experienced it, so forgive me if I rattle on here while I'm taking what I do from time to time. I'll try and keep it brief. I've provided a handout with more information or a little bit more detailed information of what we'll be going through tonight. That survey that we did, then we didn't have that when we were putting this together, but that would be parking generally not something that drives the vision. The vision drives the parking. You decide what the vision you want for your community, and then the parking, develop the parking to obtain that vision, reach that vision. What we've got for you tonight is, I think, enough raw information that you can decide with you what next step that you want to take. So we'll go through it here. Interesting enough, parking down through the years has been the biggest problem I've had to deal with as a manager. Ever since they developed this little machine here, we've had problems deciding where we're going to park it. And communities, and this may be your community, they'll talk about this for years before making a decision. It seems like a simple thing, but it is not. And if you decide to go to a more sophisticated program than what you have, there's a ton of decisions that you have to make. And there's a lot of exceptions that a parking program makes. It's just amazing how complicated this is once you start administering a comprehensive program. Okay, then. Why are we here? Well, you asked us, the committee. You created us. You tasked us with looking at the parking situation in Kirkridge, whether we have a problem with it or not. Do we have a problem? Well, we ask ourselves, as a committee, we ask ourselves, do we have a problem? What are we trying to solve if we do have? And so we did a very simple, unsophisticated, unscientific survey, study, not survey, where over the 4th of July holidays, we decided to see how much of a parking problem we had over a very busy time. So each one of the members took an area of the town, and 2 times a day, the morning and in the afternoon, they visited that area to see how the parking was going on. And quite frankly, we were surprised that it was going to be a lot worse than it was. It was stretched. It was a rubber band. It was stretched about as far as it could get. But each time we surveyed our particular areas, there were parking spaces still available. Might not be where the people really wanted them, but they were available. So parking worked reasonably well over the 4th of July holidays. Now, some people have said, well, this 4th was, we didn't have as many visitors as we had. It was spread over a 3-day period or so forth. And that may be, I don't know. But the thing is that you're parking for on a on an average day here, do you have a problem?
No.
No. It works most of the time, even with the holidays and where that I've seen here, it works reasonably well. So you're doing some things right. However, you've got two potential problems that would have a big impact on the whether you have a real parking problem or not. And of course, that's your leased lot at the Islander and the lot there by the Beach House Burgers, privately owned lot. If those two are developed, then you're going to start having some pretty big parking problems here. We thought we'd look at the options that we had for parking here. We created three options. Here, the first one is do nothing for the time being. Second one is to establish a combination of pay to park and free parking areas. And the third one is to have a parking program that maximizes return revenues to the town. Okay? Okay, I got it. You good? You good.
And if that happens again, just use these little
backward. Yeah,
I was
backward. Those three. Why option one? If things are going reasonably well, one of the things I just mentioned is to get ahead of your future needs that perhaps you need to do something with one. Interesting, you don't have the options that many communities have because you don't have much land. You know? So one of the things that you might want to do is to identify some parcels that maybe are vacant now or becoming vacant or something and land bank some of them. This lack of options, imagine in the citizen survey, again, people suggest that you have satellite lots and bus the people in or trolley the people in or something like that. You don't have enough land for that. You know, they see the land over here we can't use and so forth. So that really isn't an option that we have. Now, if you had two or three more lots and more people coming, somebody could possibly make a business out of shuttling people back and forth, but it would be, in my opinion, a pretty tough sell. So that option is really not available in the land clause. Let's see if I can. We have
to.
I've got it. Okay. It's all right, sir.
Okay.
Let's see. Again, you folks know this better than I do. What did you do to me?
Is that where you were?
No.
There?
Yeah, right here.
No, I'm going to be right here. I'm just going to be right
here. Okay.
So you don't have to worry about
it. Got a large undeveloped piece of land decently, one other than those two that's temporarily being used for the parking. Cost of developing off-street parking. It's going to cost about $3,000 per parking space to pave it and do some plantings and that sort of thing, plus the cost of land. Right. And then we've had a number of suggestions we'll build a parking deck. Well, for a community of this size, that's almost impossible to finance. It's $12,000 to $15,000 per space plus land. So those two options, having a satellite parking lot somewhere and shuttling people back and forth doesn't seem to be an option, and neither does it building a parking garage. So what you're left with is perhaps land banking when parcels become available. If you can identify certain ones that are important to future parking needs, and certainly on mixed-use zoning, about the best way to get more development than to do in each department. Might want to look at allowing developers to rather than have to put all the parking on site that's required, to pay in lieu of those, and the city, you know, the town could build somewhere else. Those are kind of tricky sometimes to work through, but the two things, so we may not, you may not want to do much as far as what's happening now, but you may want to look at what the future is going to look. I am absolutely amazed at how much traffic has increased in the 3 years that I've been here, 2 years I've been here. And of course we've been coming here 40 some years. We've had a little place in Kira Beach for that, down the street for that. They predicted we're going to have a large increase in population, another 100 million by 2040. Well, if the ratio of cars to people hold, there's 7 cars to every 10 people. So you can see how many more vehicles are going to be put on. So you're going to be dealing with parking for quite some time, Andre. Okay.
Okay.
We looked at the second option, cost of combination of pay and free parking areas. And if you want to consider pay parking at all, we suggest 3 zones to start with. Zone A, and that's K Avenue, east to Atlantic Boulevard, and then Atlantic Boulevard both north and south there. That gets you 131 spaces. Then Zone B, Fort Fisher, basically from town limit to town limit. Then the beach, 5 beach access lots south of K Street. That adds another 157 spaces. And Zone C is just that apartment lot there at the community center. It has 16 spaces for a total. If you go to the 3 zones, 304 spaces. Now, we didn't do much on the third option because it simply is expanded. You can get about another 100 parking spaces if you use just about everything that's available. 6th Street, I Street, the median there. Around the ballpark up here, but we didn't think that at least in the beginning we should do that. Now, what's it going to cost you if you take this approach of some paid parking, some free parking, with a balance between the two? But you need to work with the citizens to find what that balance would be. These are figures that we feel pretty good about them being, if anything, on the high side. Okay. As a manager, I can always deal with something that came in lower, but I have trouble dealing with things that came in above what we were budgeting. So we built in, I think, some good cushion here, including a $10,000 contingency fee. It's the equivalent of putting in 24 of the pay stations, kiosks. And then those kiosks can serve from about 8 to 10 parking spaces. Okay. They are very sophisticated now. The best ones are solar powered, and they have all kinds of ways that you can pay. You can do it by the traditional way of putting coins in the meter at the location, use your credit card, call in telephone. It's a very sophisticated piece of equipment putting out there. We think you can buy all that equipment, get it installed, get it shipped here, get it programmed, because it is a computer that needs programming. or 217,000. Then we added the 10,000 as a cushion there for 200. They start giving us 227,000.
Orville, could I ask you a question,
yeah,
please? So the 227, is that for the 304 spaces?
It is.
Okay, so that's for the 304 spaces. And the 227 is a cost. Any idea how long that equipment sustains itself? I mean, like 5 years, 6 years?
I don't, and I should have had that information.
But that's okay. I think it's...
The solar really helps in this kind of climate with the wiring, you know, mm-hmm. not eating up the wiring and so forth.
Sure.
But I don't know what the life expectancy on
okay.
those are. That's a good question. I'll try to find that out. As I say, we feel, as a committee, real comfortable with this. You're not going to exceed these figures. Now, I've done it on the equivalent of 24 stations. You may have to have a mix of stations and single-spaced meters if you want to go down Fort Fisher. You can only, these pay stations will handle 8 to 10, that's no problem. But the way they're spaced out, you know, going down Fort Fisher, you'd have to walk away. There's also a distance that people will walk into, and some of that. We feel good about these. We don't feel as good about some in a little while. I'll go over it in a little while. Okay. Now, the town has parking restrictions, as you all know, but you don't really manage a parking program. And there's no need to if the parking is going to be free. You don't need to manage. But if you go to a paid parking program, you will have to manage it. And that managing will include having enforcement. Your program is only as good as your enforcement. How are other communities doing managing this kind of parking program? Well, a lot of communities hire a private company to manage the program. There's a lot of those private companies around. Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, and Wilmington all use this approach. They hire a management company to do it. The other one is a managed program with town employees. Is it Buford or Beaufort? I never got Buford.
Beaufort.
Beaufort. All right. Okay, Beaufort uses this kind of approach and very pleased with the service that they think the city employees manage this program, and they think they're doing they're managing less expensive than hiring a private company. The other one is one to look at. This one's kind of an interesting one. It's what Oak Island, you might have been reading about Oak Island and what they've been debating paid parking for a long time, I guess. But they've come up with an approach that if it works, if it's something we should look at, because it would be certainly less expensive if they can pull it off. But what they were proposing is a meterless program altogether. What you would do is buy, what do you kind of things that you put in the on your rear view mirror, a mirror hang, I guess.
Hang pin.
Or a decal for people to buy time at the areas that they're these covered over a certain period of time. Now, they allow the residents, or they provide for the residents there, that they can get $5, they get a season pass on their proposal. Visitors, one day passes a cost of $7, 3 days, $15, or a season pass, $65. There's far less expense if they figure out how they're going to get these parking stickers and things to people. It looks like it might be a tremendous traffic jam or something like that. But if they can work this out, this is something we should watch carefully, because it could be a good program.
Any idea if somebody comes down on a Saturday and wants to buy a season pass, who sells it to them?
I'm sorry.
If someone comes down on a Saturday in April and wants to buy a season pass that Saturday, who mans it, sells it to them? Do you have any idea about that? Are they still figuring that out?
No, when I told you what was on the screen is all I know.
Okay.
I mean, they're wrestling with this right now. I understand they're going to go out with RFPs on this program. And I'll show you why that's really important in a little chart I have here before, because managing a pay-for-parking, pay-to-park program is expensive. I mean, the revenue's more now, but more covered out of it. Here's what is the towns around here charge. It's $1 to $2.50 per hour for on-street parking. And the ones that Raleigh has $1.25 for Fayetteville Street and $1 for all the other streets that they have meters on. Chapel Hill is $1.50, Durham's $1.50, Beaufort is $1. Carolina Beach, two B's, but I see that one does. $1.50, Wrightsville Beach. You want to go to Wrightsville Beach? $2.50.
$1.
That's because of the college and the town.
Okay.
And then
now is where we could use a little help. Say on the expenditure end, we feel comfortable with the numbers. Not on the revenue. Give me the next slide. There's all kinds of decisions you got to make here that affect your revenues. One is, what period of time are you going to have your charges in effect? Many community beach communities use April 1 to August 31st, and then the rest of the time is free. Some go year round. And then it's how many hours during the day are you going to charge? Typically, communities do 6:30 to 6:30. Others do not. Wilmington does 9 o'clock to 6:30. So there's all different. Right? Each community is different, and you would need to decide if you go this way. But 12 hours is the general rule that you keep those in. How many days a week are you going to give Sunday off, or are you going to have parking charges on Sunday as well? Some communities do it both ways. Wilmington, of course. Wilmington gives Sundays off. Normally big cities don't. So let's look at what kind of revenues we can expect doing it. April to October. Did I say August in the presentation? It seemed like I did. A 7 month season here. 6:30 to 6:30 charges, 7 days a week operation. Okay. Zone A, which is basically K Street and Atlantic Avenue. There, I would suggest that you would charge $1.50, or that's what we did the revenues based on. And if you did $1.50 and you had 55% occupancy, and here's where we need a little help here. These are all based on how much occupancy you have, you know. And so you know how much, where people park, when they park, that sort of thing. I was estimating here 55% occupancy on K and Atlantic. Or, I did that on that, or 40% occupancy. I ran the figures on both those. It seemed like this one might be a little high, this one might be a little low, but the cost estimates that you're going to see in a little while is based on it. If you've got 131 spot, if you do 150 per space for 12 hours at 100% occupancy, all those 131 spaces are occupied all the time, then you have a daily, you bring in $2,300. But then that's unrealistic. So where we need help is that, what percent of occupancy do you think these areas, if you put paid parking in, would have? And so that one's one. Then we'll go through the other.
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah.
When you figured these numbers, did you figure on the same car occupying the spot all day long?
It didn't matter. It was just it was occupying. Somebody was paying for it in the estimates. But a lot of time, as you know, you get that. When we did our little survey, I had K Avenue. It was amazing how many cars were there at 6:30 in the morning and was there again when I checked in the late afternoon. Oh,
they're all out of here.
Yeah. And each community is different. That's why, if you've got a peer that's angry, if you think of it as a shopping center, your one anchor is the peer, and the other one's Big Daddy's, in that way. Not many communities I know of have the peer right in the heart of their business district. So you have to take that into account. It gives you high occupancy ratings, though. So that one, okay, but you got the next one there. Yeah. Zone B. Zone B is basically Fort Fisher Avenue, all the way from where the bicycle paths start to where they end. That one, you have 157. That one I estimated at a dollar. It is not as attractive as the parking spot. It's the ones, especially if you're a fisherman, one by the pier. But doing that with a high occupancy rate of 40% and a low of 25% gives you 147 per year on that. Or where's the other? I guess I didn't chart that out. I have it on the other chart, though. Anyhow, that one's a good revenue producer, but even now you have a lot of vacant parking spots if you drive up and down there, so you're not going to get a real high occupancy rate, but you got a lot of it also includes the beach access lots, where they were full all the time we did our little study.
Yeah, that was during 4th of July, right?
I'm sorry?
That was during 4th of July, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then Zone C, the 16 parking spaces, we don't think you'd have a high occupancy there. I did the revenue calculations on 15% and 5% occupancy rates. Okay, if we get to that next. Assumptions. It appears that studying the budgets of our surrounding communities and so forth. I said this is expensive. It appears that for every dollar of parking revenue, about 80 to 85% goes for running the program, keeping the equipment up, enforcement, collections, and 15 to 20% goes to the general fund. Now, how's that work out money-wise? Right. Here's those zones that we're talking about. Here in Zone A, we had revenues based on our high estimate and our low estimates there, $254,000 there, and we used 85% expense. 85% of what you generate is going to go to run the program on each one of these. And I think that's probably high. But if you work out with projecting high expenses and so forth, so in a Zone A you'd have $38,128 as your net over expenses revenue. For Zone B, $22,000. For Zone C, that's the little community center. You'd have only $853 in there. The net of all of this is under the high estimate and high expense. You'll range somewhere from net over expended, net revenues over expenditures of $60,000 to roughly $40,000. And as you all know, 1 cent in the property tax was about $80,000. So it's roughly a half to 1 cent on equal to that on your property tax at the revenue for free. We ask ourselves, well, can we generate more capacity without buying more lots and developing? Technically, yes, and that's by doing paid parking and limiting it 2 hours. There you start getting a lot of turnover. And somebody was asking about the day, folks. That's where this paid parking would capture some revenue that the day folks, I don't have, day visitors are important to our economy, but all told, they're not as important as as the other. They'll fill up their, it's an easy drive from Raleigh or sort of down for the day, a nice family day at the beach, bring your picnic lunch, that sort of thing. So your merchants, it doesn't appear that anybody's getting much from the day visitor. And this would be at least some revenue from those folks to help you pay for something else that you might not be able to afford now that you want to, and the community wants maybe another law enforcement officer or something like that at this kind of program or beautification.
I think this is why it's important for Craig's question on how long the equipment lasts, because you've left mm-hmm. off paying back the capital, right? And I know you've got it later in here, but
yeah,
that $37,000 won't go to the general fund. I'll have to pay the equipment back. And if the equipment only lasts for 3 or 4 years on the beachfront, which is more reasonable than 6 or 7 years, it doesn't even pay for the equipment. And so then you're negative.
Right.
Right? I mean, so it all depends on how long the equipment lasts, because maybe I'm pessimistic, but I'm not banging on the committee, right? I'm just saying the math, right? It's math to me, right? And so money is math to me, and I'm kind of a math guy.
I have no prior authorship, in fact.
That's right.
You know,
and so the seven months, the 40% occupancy, even downtown, doesn't check with what I see in the shoulders, right? And so I think you almost have to refine your analysis, say, okay, in April and May it's this, June, July, and August it's this, September, October is this, and then I think what you'll see is it's going to shrink. I think your low estimate may be a little high, but I'm okay, it's reasonable. It checks with what we looked at a few years ago, so it's reasonable. The issue is if the equipment is not robust, you're a net loss for this. So that's the money side, right?
Yeah.
And then the other side is the unintended consequences, which the council needs to be very aware of. If we're going to consider going down this, we have to change our parking regulations in the old part of town, because where everyone parks right now in the old part of town is really town right-of-way,
mm-hmm.
and most of the people in the old part of town. And people, just like what happened to Riceville Beach, will move back. And so the people on 3rd and 4th Avenue, south of N Avenue, will find people parking in what they consider is their yard, which is where they all park right now. And we either have to move them off, which they're not going to be. Some of them can't because of the way their houses are built. Or recognize that we're going to have to regulate that somehow, which the police department's going to have to deal with, right? And so... I mean, I think it's a valuable conversation, because it is, right? You're highlighting that issue that's been an issue my whole life. Of 4th of July parking in Curie Beach has been horrible mm-hmm. since the 60s.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that no one else has figured it out, so I'm glad someone smart is looking at it. I'm just concerned when we say that we're going to put net revenues in, Arlen, when he does the budget, will tell you he's not going to budget for it, because until we know how long the equipment lasts, You got to pay the equipment off as part of the whole plan.
That's a valid point.
I think Orville, you and the team have done a great job on doing the math. And we have a couple things to close on the math. We have a more difficult thing to actually consider. You know, you can go to the old song, "Does money buy me, can't buy me love?"
Right.
So the point is, you could be a rich town. I don't know that's necessarily going to make you a happy town. So we need to understand, possibly, right, what do the people want the ambiance of the town? If we don't have a problem with parking, if we have available capacity, or do we want to drive revenues? Now, I think this team and the SLAP committee has also done tremendous work in this area to give us ideas. Now, the hard part's going to be, right, coming up with what do we think is the best for the town. Yeah. It I don't necessarily think it's paid parking, but it certainly is an option, and I guess we need to look at the math. So, and I appreciate the work you've done here, because it's a lot of good work.
Well, what we were trying to do is to provide enough, as I mentioned, raw material, kind of to say, is it worth doing the next step and doing RFP, or have we got enough that we can make that decision now? And we didn't feel that we needed to bring private companies in unless we did serious about going that direction.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think these are, as I say, on the expenditure side, I think they're deep. Now, we did not project any parking ticket revenues into this. And parking, if you're going to be a paid parking program, you're going to have to, or at least said, you're going to have to monitor that, and you're going to have to issue parking tickets. And you're going to have somebody going through the area often, you know, to make sure that.
Well, I assume that was in your operating expense, your 85%, right? So that's in there. You just didn't put on the revenue side. Okay.
Right. Yes.
That's fair.
Well, besides sending how many individuals, whether they're police officers or not, around to ticket, there's the collection.
You've got collections built into that.
Yeah, the lack of collection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
because they're from out of town.
Expensive program, no doubt about it.
Right, that's the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we've always ran into is we don't have the large number of spaces that Carolina Wrightsville Beach have. And I think, I honestly think this is my view of paid parking. Until you reach a certain threshold, it can't pay for itself, right? It's like it's got to be enough volume to pay for itself, right? You got to have enough people coming, and you got to have enough spaces, or it can't pay for itself because of the capital cost.
Where that break line is.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
I was looking for a rule of thumb.
Right, exactly right. I'm with you. Yeah,
nice. Nobody been able to come up with that.
Submarine guy.
Yes.
Rule of thumb. I'm with you, right?
I think one of the things I was impressed with, the town manager for Beaufort came to visit the group. Mm-hmm. And on the purchase thing, they decided not to purchase. They did a lease to purchase, but they had an agreement with the financial institution that at any point they felt like this was not working or the town was losing money on it, they could stop and sell the equipment back or give the equipment back, whatever the agreement was with the financial institution. And so especially, they could look at it the first year. I think they're on their second or third year now. It's like a 5-year contract, I believe, with the financial institution. And so far, they've been successful enough that they have decided to go each year to the next year, but they vote on that each year as to whether or not they want to continue it. So it isn't like a loan from a bank that you have to pay off whether the program is successful or not, and it's not like outright purchasing the equipment and then you're stuck with it and can't get rid of it.
It was 5 years.
So that part of it, that part of it I really liked. And on the other one, I would really like to hear more from Oak Island and why they decided to go that route. And I don't understand why they're doing an RFP if they're going to handle all of it in-house.
Well, I don't know if they made that decision. They made the decision, as far as I can tell from the readings of it, that they want to go, but they want to go a meterless route, these mirror hangers. They want to go that route rather than installing equipment and most of us talking about it.
That's not a bad idea, but if you don't have the merchants sell the tags, you're going to have staff on the weekend out here, and everybody coming to town is going to be in this parking lot waiting for their tag.
Yeah.
So,
let's see how they work that out.
I mean, if the merchants would acquiesce to, you can stop at any merchant and purchase the tag, that'd be a different story, but then that's a whole required control system that we'd have to look for Arlen to say, do we number these things? There's no easy solution. There's just, it's an interesting problem. And maybe it's a combination of things.
Well, we had the financing options. I'm going to get the 227 out of his sludge fund somewhere, aren't you?
Sure.
Typically, this kind of tag pay, the payments to the vendor would be basically this is pretty traditional, 25% down at the time you order it, 50% when the equipment is here, and then 25% when you accept that. Option lease to purchase is an option. There you get your for 36 months, 48 months, 60 months, your monthly payment there at 6%. That's probably high. Hope it is anyhow. And then the other one is the open plan, and that has the attractive twist. The lease purchase with an attractive twist. And what's that attractive twist is what the mayor has been talking about. They have an agreement with the bank for a lease purchase where it can be terminated without penalty. Anytime the council decides in a budget year they're not going to appropriate the money to continue it. That's unusual. But it does allow, the reason I like it is it allows experimentation. You can run it a year, and if it's a disaster, get rid of it. Or working with the citizens and the business community, does it need tweaked? And by tweaking it, does it work better and so forth? Not cancel it. That's interesting. I don't know if that same kind of financing would be available to us here, but it would be one of the things if you wanted to go pay parking, I think we'd look at to see whether that is and put that into the mix of which way you want to finance this. Okay, let's see, one more. One more. There you go. Okay.
Here you are, David.
I don't know. I just like it. Well, the next steps is kind of up to you. Put the ball in the court, which court you want to be in. Whether it's a do-nothing option at this time, with looking at land banking or something like that. But that's for the future. One thing I was going to mention, at 250, Wrightsville's trying to limit the number of people coming. Parking, encourage it, or encourage development, or prevent development, that sort of thing. And how much of that kind of traffic is going to come this way? I don't know, but it's going to go somewhere. people are not going to make 250 if there's some other option that available to them, and a much cheaper option. So it appears to me that Wright School is just trying to limit the number of folks that come there. I'm open to any questions, and I went on a lot longer than I intended to or wanted to.
Well, thanks for all the effort of you and the group.
Yeah. Yes, it's a lot of weeks and a lot of hours, I know.
It was a hard working committee.
Yeah.
The mayor gave me a great group of folks to work with. So our work is basically finished until you decide which direction you want to go. And then if you want us to do more, we're available to do it. But the next step is actually your focus.
Could I ask you one question? And a couple of us were talking about this earlier today. You mentioned early on about a satellite lot that really, I don't know where we would buy it or find it or anything. But did you look at all at the possibility of people parking somewhere like the Food Lion lot or the New Harris Teeter or the old movie theater and working with Wave Transit?
No, we didn't
get them cards. Because, Wave Transit had mentioned to me that the aquarium is very interested in something like that and wanted to know, if we were.
No,
and
we
I don't know how much that would solve our traffic problems, for one thing, and then maybe parking, too.
I don't know about the traffic because the traffic, what did it say? We had 880,000 visitors?
Just for Fort Fisher. That's not even the aquarium.
So, I mean, that's a lot of vehicles, even if it's four people per car, right? But I don't know what we can do about traffic. That's a different problem. Managing parking, that is something we can do something about. We can manage the people who stay to the benefit of the town and the benefit of the visitors.
Yes. Well, I didn't add that there's three different groups working on parking here, and we tried to bring those into our group. Ruth basically joined she's head of the business focus group. I didn't have Susan Walters, with the Shoreline folks, also had parking in. So we tried to get everybody talking together. And I think we were able to do that okay. We didn't come to a unanimous decision to bring together.
What kind of response did you get from the business community?
Business community is always a little leery of this, especially of restaurants. They feel that maybe you're going to drive people away with an extra dollar charge or something like that. Historically, that hasn't happened, but it's always there. You've always got to depend on it being there. Now, the pier, that's another story. What effect it has on it. Mr. Robertson?
Yeah.
He came to one of our committee, and then the gentleman owns the burger, George, has come to our meetings a number of times. So we've had those two in the room, this room, and representing the business community. We haven't heard much from anybody else, but we haven't tried to generate. We thought our report was to you, and then if you want us to hold hearings or anything like that, that's your direction to us. But it wasn't our place to go out and sell a particular program we had and decide whether you want to look at the option of pay or not. If we're out trying to explain the pay or promote a pay plan, that's way out of kilter with what you're thinking, then we've not done anybody any favors.
Thank you.
So we are ready to work some more if you want us to, on whichever direction that you go. With whatever it is, whether you take any of those options, you're going to be dealing with parking for a long time. thank you very much.
Thank you very nicely.
Thank you.
So, any comments on where you would like to go from here.
Boy, I think we need to have an in-depth discussion to decide what the next step is. I don't know that that's something we need to do this evening.
Or don't leave yet. We're getting ready to tell you what we want you to do next.
Oh. You know that. I hesitated too long.
See?
All right, we'll tell you.
I think we do need to debate the positives and negatives and then provide a sense of direction. I mean, I know I have a feeling for the way I would like things to go. I think Jim has, in discussions with him, I think he has a sense. I think we all have a sense. What we need to do is get that sense out there and see if there's a consensus.
Yeah, and every time we have something like this, yeah, we get more information to feed in, because the work that you've done has pretty much tracked over the years with when we had RFPs and we had companies come in and everything. The biggest change in parking that I've seen since I've been on is the use of satellite equipment and something other than individual parking meters.
Yeah.
So that's been a positive as far as finance-wise.
And buying equipment, not having to buy parking meter for every single space.
But at the very least, the citizens want to know what direction we're headed, and the committee certainly needs to know. But I don't know about tomorrow. And one of the things I was looking at with your survey, there's parking questions on there that we may gather some general information from the citizens.
Yeah, we do have the survey that we could follow through on. What would you think about some sort of public meeting, maybe even after the first of the year, and have maybe representatives from other towns that are doing the different scenarios. I really want to hear from Oak Island and how they came up with that.
I think we could do that, but I would rather hear from our people.
Well, I mean,
right?
This,
I'd rather
this
hear
would
from
give
Mike
them a,
and
right.
Veronica.
Well, this would give them a chance to listen to those people. I mean, anybody who isn't here tonight might not know what we're looking at. They might think that, like in the past, when we just had the companies like the one that works with Carolina Beach come and tell us, oh, it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we would end up going in the hole.
Yeah.
I would like the citizens to really hear this presentation in a public type situation, either from the committee or a combination of the committee and some of these other towns there to tell us what the advantages and disadvantages have been.
Well, early next year would sound fine to me, because at the very least by then Oak Island would probably be a settled issue and we'd know how they had planned to do something.
Well, I think we should reach out to Carolina Beach to see how their machines hold up in the weather, because they use some very similar machines like you described in all their logs.
Tell you the reason I think we need to get some more feedback from the community on what they want. 3 years ago, we went to the business community and we offered to have them sell those day passes where they could hold on to 20% of the value. We figured if 7% is a lottery ticket, 20% ought to make people really go crazy. We couldn't get support to do that. I think it's very important that we get the feedback from all the others. You have given us an incredible foundation to have a very good discussion. And with the help of Susan and Slap and Parking, and with the work you've done and Mia has done, we need to make some choices. So thanks for what you've done. Do you have anything for David?
I mean, so I just, first, I think we've got a good survey that we should, if the question's not on there, when we look at it later in the one, ask people what their views of paid parking are, so we get feedback. And if the majority of people feel it's something that the council should look at, then we should have another meeting to discuss it. From my standpoint, there's a couple reasons you do paid parking. One is to raise revenues. I think that based on the information tonight and what I've seen before, the town's not really going to raise revenue with paid parking in Curry Beach. If you look at Beaufort, they have over 500 spaces. Carolina Beach has over 700. And then when you add the Freeman Park, which is where they make the majority of their money, not from their paid parking, both of those are significantly bigger than our 301 or whatever you had in there, 304, right? And I think, honestly, it's a volume issue. So if it's not for revenue, then it becomes what other things are you trying to do with it, right? I think I 100% agree with you. Riceville Beach is using paid parking to keep people from coming at this point. And I think, I don't think that's what we want Curry Beach to be known as, right? So if we're using it to control people coming to the beach, I just fundamentally don't really agree with that. However, if we're using it to manage a problem, that's a different issue, right? And so, you know, if the citizen said we have a problem, then I think we should look at it. And so I think from my standpoint, if we're gonna send a survey out, that should be a question on it, which we're talking about later in the meeting. And then once the citizens have given us input, then we should act to the input. But it's really either for revenue, to control a safety or, you know, control people problem with paid parking, or to discourage people from coming to the town. And I don't know that any of those are the place Curry Beach wants to be, at least in my mind right now. But if the citizens said, no, this is really important, okay, fine. I think it could be, it won't cost us anything. I think you could make it where it's even, maybe. And, you know, if it's even, then you're doing it for other things than revenue. And we just got to decide, is that something the town wants to? If we get into the business, though, the council and P&Z have to do something about parking regulations in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th Street in the old part of town, or we're going to cause a problem that Riceville Beach had in the late 70s and early 80s that we don't want. So if we decide we're getting into the business, we're going to have to tell people up front, we're going to change how you park in the old part of town. And a lot of people are going to be surprised that land that's the town's is going to be regulated different, because it'll have to be. Or they're going to be unhappy when people park in their front yards, because they don't realize that that front yard is not really their yard, but it's really the town's right of way. And so if we go to get into it, we got to fess up to that part, because that's a big part that's going to surprise a lot more people than I think we realize, because they don't realize that right now. I drive around looking. When we talked about the regulating down, you know, in front of Ocean Dunes, and talked about, we had something from the building inspector, I just pulled up Google and showed council at the time all the people that would be in violation of the regulation if we approved it as it was. And I just looked at Google Map and said, yep, that one's in violation, that one's in violation, that one's in violation, all through the old part of town. And, you know, that's going to surprise a huge number of people, because they really think the end of the pavement is their property line, and it's not anywhere in the old part of town. And all people are parking all over the town right away, all over the old part of town. And I think, I haven't looked at it as closely in the homeowners associations, but I think the same thing applies in the homeowners associations. The property line and the pavement line are two different places, and it's big enough to put a car on, even in their property. Now, they have homeowners regulations that stop off-street parking that might help them out, but you'd have to make those happen in the old part of town. So I say we look at the survey when we get later in the night, before we determine our next action. I mean,
we've got a total of 10 questions. It's one of the biggest parts of the survey.
Yeah. Parking's representative all in the survey. Let's get it out.
Let the citizens tell us. But there's a lot. It's more, it's like every issue on the surface is really simple, but when you start pulling away, it gets just worse and worse and worse and worse. And our job is to make sure we understand all the worst part before we jump into stuff. That's my issue.
Thank you so much for the work that you and all the people who were working with you did.
Well, I didn't do much. I listened and put down on paper, and we used a Quaker procedure, which nothing moves unless it's unanimous. I wouldn't recommend that to a council.
Okay.
I'm going to go have my hot pie now.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment. Community.
Yeah, we moved SLAP to the front.
Okay.
I wanted to go ahead and move that to the front. Two issues with that, and of course the resignations that were submitted. I would like to hold off on voting on those, perhaps move to the next council meeting if perhaps someone would, or some of them would reconsider. Also, the committee at this point does not have a quorum because there's not enough members, so we need to, for Nancy's email, lower the number down to 8 so that they can't have a quorum so they can continue with their business.
Do you want an even number? Don't you want an odd number? So you, I would recommend whatever we lower to is an odd number with an alternate. So if they fill all the positions, they can't get deadlocked.
We can raise it back up, but I just think for them to continue to do the good work that they're doing, we need to allow them to continue to meet.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. You just said 8, now like, I'm just saying not an even number, that's all I'm saying. I'm okay with whatever number, but I recommend an odd number so they can't get deadlocked.
And just to let you know, one more person has resigned. So that's not here because I haven't gotten a letter yet, but I understand from the co-chair that somebody else has resigned, so that's bringing the number down to 4 now instead of 5. So if you want to do a 7.
We do it to 7.
Yeah, I think that
for now.
Yeah, well, and I agree with Joe, right? So, you know, I know that a number of people have reached out to committee members. I mean, in the end, they have to make their decision to serve or not, but I think that that's not the council's intent for mass resignations of committees, and hopefully a little bit of time, a little more work from council may help. So I'm fine with your recommendation. I'd support it if you want to make a motion. And I think the number, just make an odd number, and whatever number you think is right, I support.
Okay.
When do they meet? Do we need to change the number until we have a definitive position? We already may have a definitive position, we're just not accepting it because we want to work on it, right? When is the next meeting of the SLAP group?
Dennis said they might not meet in December.
Well, then we don't need a decision.
Yeah, a lot of the committees don't meet in
January,
December.
Okay.
Then we don't need a decision to reduce the number of folks.
Until the December meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you guys another question. I always understood for the last 6 years that people are still on the committee until the council approves the resignations. Are they or are they not?
I mean, you could say whatever you want, but if somebody doesn't want to be on a committee and they don't
right.
come,
I think it's at a standstill.
It's
right
that's,
at this point.
It's over.
We're trying to,
you know. So
okay, and I hear Joseph right. saying that you know he does not want it to be over.
Right.
So, also Dennis.
Yes.
Could you come up to the podium, please? You know, I attended your last meeting and. I guess I have to apologize for the meeting. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be there till 4:15,
sure.
So I came in a little bit early. And I apologized to you then, and now I would like to apologize to you in public. Did not realize how new you were on the committee, but that's you know certainly not an excuse. I apologize for the way I treated you at the last council meeting. And I hope you will accept my apology. I really enjoyed talking with everybody that evening. I think we came to some agreements on a couple of things, and I appreciated everybody being so outspoken and cooperative. And I really appreciate the work that SLAP may have done on helping Orville with the parking situation too.
Well, that was primarily Susan, entirely Susan from the SLAP committee working with Orville on that. Relatively, as I said before, was new on the committee and did not have a long history. So it was easier for me. I think the reason we have seen the resignations is that a number of the members of the committee have been on the committee for many, many years, either on the SLAP committee or on other committees as well. I think the apology doesn't necessarily need to be directed to me.
Okay.
I think the apology should be to those longstanding members of the committee who have worked so hard for years and years for the town of Curie Beach. So I would hope you extend that to those members of the committee because they have worked very hard. And I think the grilling and the admonition at that meeting was more directed, I didn't take it as being directed towards me, but as the committee, and I think the committee itself is what you should apologize.
Okay, well, I certainly offer that, and I think one of the things we discussed that night was the need for better communication, not just from the committee, but also from the council to the committee. And I think that both ways would really, really help a great deal.
Well, Joseph and I will talk, and we will continue to talk. So.
Okay, yes. Joseph has promised to attend more meetings. Appreciate that.
We have other members here. I think you can address them directly.
Oh, yes, if anybody would like to speak, please, from the committee, please come forward. We would appreciate it. Okay, Joseph, you want to make your motion?
Okay. I make a motion that we hold off on accepting the resignations of the people that are listed and also reduce the number of committee members for the time being down to 7.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes.
I,